family throughout central Wisconsin, Feltz's Family Farm and Dairy Store wishes you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Whether it's leaving milk out for Santa or a delicious cheese plate for your holiday party, dairy is a part of the season. Get into the holiday spirit at Feltz's Dairy Store. Wishing you a wonderful 2023 from your friends at Feltz's Family Farm and Dairy Store at 5796 Porter Drive in Stevens Point, where you can find food, family, and fun.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Ho, ho, ho! It's off to Grandma's house for Christmas dinner. Laughing and reminiscing with family, and more than likely, presents given and received. Yes, Christmas is a joyous time of the year. When all the festivities are done and you're back to your regular daily routine, think of Culver's. You need a break or a treat. Butter burgers, concrete mixers, and almost as good as Grandma's cooking. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to one and all from the entire staff at your Wisconsin Rapids Culver's Restaurant.
The Grape Nuts and Grape Nuts Flakes program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. I bet you don't all know the real meaning of the word delicious, or do you? Well, I didn't until I looked it up. And it comes from two Latin words meaning pleasant and charm. And if that doesn't spell malty-rich grape nuts, then my name isn't Don Wilson. You're as pleased as punch when you sit down to the big, tempting bowl of grape nuts now, aren't you? And you're certainly charmed with that one and only malty-rich flavor that's sweet as a nut. A rich, distinctive blend of sun-ripened wheat and malted barley. A flavor that just plain hits the spot. And all that wonderful whole grain nourishment you get in grape nuts leaves you with such a satisfied feeling of well-being. Yep, for a real treat, just try a bowl of grape nuts for breakfast tomorrow. You'll find it's a charmer, all right. As you know, Mary Livingston has been off the show for 3 weeks because of laryngitis. So now that she is fully recovered, we take her to her house where we find Mary and her maid, Butterfly.
Gee, Miss Livingston, you sure have pretty hair.
Well, thank you, Butterfly. Ouch! Be careful with the comb you're pulling.
Oh, excuse me. Say, Miss Livingston, was your hair always this color?
Of course. I never bleach my hair.
Neither do I.
Well, I'm glad you told me. Now, Butterfly, comb the ends into a roll.
Yes, ma'am. You know what, Miss Livingston?
What?
I think your hair is even prettier than Mr. Benny's.
Oh, Butterfly, you're just saying that. Anyway, you've never been close enough to Mr. Benny's hair to appreciate its beauty.
Oh, yes, I have. Yesterday, I was over to Mr. Benny's house.
Oh.
He wasn't home, so Uncle Rochester showed it to me.
Your Uncle Rochester has no right to open Mr. Benny's safe. Now, Butterfly, will you get my blue dress out of the closet, please? Never mind. You answer the door. I'll get the dress myself.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own, a doll that other fellows cannot steal.
Hello, Butterfly.
Come right in, Mr. Benny. May I take your hat?
Yes, thanks. Here's my coat.
Yes, sir. Shall I take your shawl, too?
That's a muffler. Here. Now, Butterfly, will you tell Miss... Oh, here she is.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Mary. Gee, you're looking swell, and your voice sounds okay, too.
Thanks. I feel fine now.
That's good. Say, Mary, I brought you a box of candy. Over 100 pieces in it. Here you are.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Just the kind I like. Sen.
Well, I'm glad you do. You know, it cost me extra to have it wrapped as a gift, you know.
Oh, Jack, you're so nice.
I know. Maybe I shouldn't have given it to you now. It'll make your Christmas present look like nothing.
Well, let's not worry about that now. Come on, we'll go into the living room.
All right. Is there a fire in the fireplace?
No, but we can build one.
Okay.
Gee, I haven't had a fire in here since I've been sick.
Well, there's nothing as homey as a fireplace with a cheery blaze. Here goes. First, a little paper. And throw on some kindling. And now for a log. There must be a smaller log around here somewhere. Let's see. Thanks, Mary. Hey, look. Look, that log came from the tree that used to be in your backyard.
Yes, I know.
Gosh, Mary, look what it says on it. I love Jack Benny. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, I remember the night you carved it there.
Yeah, it was so romantic. I'll never forget that night if I live to be 40.
Jack, if you...
Don't answer that. I know what you were...
I'll take it. Hello? Plainfield, New Jersey calling? Yes, I'll hold on. Oh, Jack, it must be Mama.
Oh, is she out on parole again?
Jack, you ought to be ashamed of you. Hello? Oh, hello, Mama. Yes, I'm feeling fine now. That's right. I was off the program for 3 weeks. What? Oh, don't worry. Jack's going to pay me. He will pay me. Oh, Mama, he is not. Where'd you ever hear a word like that? That's what Papa calls you?
Mary, tell your mother.
Quiet, Jack.
No.
Say, Mama, did you get the packages I sent? Good. But I don't want either you or Papa to open those presents till Christmas. What? Papa couldn't wait. He did? Well, Mama, call a doctor. That was shaving lotion.
Mary, what was that word your mother called me?
It starts with an L.
Oh, L.
Say, Mama, tell me, what's happened to the home lately?
L. Could be liar, louse. Louse isn't so bad, is it?
What? What, Mama? Cousin Harry was made a sergeant? Oh, that's too bad.
What's bad about it?
Last week he was a lieutenant.
Oh.
Yes, Mama, that was Jack's voice.
L.
Yes, he's sitting right here beside me.
L.
Mama, stop it.
What's the matter?
You can drop the L and start working on D. Say, Mama, what are you and Papa doing tonight?
D, dope, dunce.
Oh, you expect company, so you're making a fire in the living room?
Dumbbell, that starts with a D.
But, Mama, you haven't got a fireplace in the living room. Oh, there's a hole in the rug and you wanted to cover it up with something.
Mary, hang up, will
well,
you?
Well, Mama, I think I better... just a second, operator. Mama, give my love to... Oh, darn it, we were cut off. Oh, operator, why did you... I don't care if my mother does drive you nuts. It's none of your business.
See, Mary, you see, I'm not the only one that's allergic to your mother.
Oh, Jack, Mama's only kidding. She doesn't mean half the things she says.
She does, too. I never saw a woman like that. She's always hounding me.
She doesn't hound you.
Well, she's got the face for it. And let me tell you another thing. Your mother takes delight in aggravating me. Every time she calls me up, she pans me. And I never say anything about her.
Thank you.
Well, you ought to be. Every time we talk about my mother, we get into an argument.
You're right, Mary. We shouldn't argue. Let's kiss and make up.
Okay.
Now, how is that?
Let's argue.
Oh, yeah? That was all right, and you know it. Now, straighten your lipstick.
Oh, you and your wet lips. Every time you kiss me, you're scared.
Now, what do you want me to do, have them retreaded? I skid. You can't say one nice thing. There's someone at the door.
That's all right. Butterfly will get it.
You can't say one thing without trying to be funny.
Oh, Jack, you take everything so seriously. Where's your sense of humor?
Sense of humor? Listen, Mary, you have no regard for my feelings. And in the first place...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Dennis. In the first place, I only came here to visit...
Hello, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Dennis.
I only came here to cheer you up because you've been ill.
Well, this is a fine way to do it. Just because I pull a gag on you once in a while, you hit the ceiling.
I hit the ceiling?
What's going on here?
Look, Mary, when you had laryngitis, I was a constant visitor. I'm the best friend you ever had.
Do you mind if I sit down?
No, go ahead.
No, sit down, Dennis.
You know, Mary, I even brought you a box of candy, and what thanks do I get?
What do you expect for a box of cents, and a kiss for every piece?
No, Mary, but the least you can do is show your appreciation.
Oh, you're having an argument.
Dennis, why don't you please be quiet?
Gee, everywhere I go, there's an argument.
Oh, where have you been, Dennis?
Home.
And Mary, as far as I'm concerned...
At my house, it's louder.
Dennis.
They ought to be breaking it up by now.
The argument?
No, the house.
Dennis, we're not having a fight. It was just a little misunderstanding, that's all. Now, Mary, let's not argue in front of the kid.
You're right, Jack, and especially about such a silly thing. I'm a dope.
Well, I'm a dope, too.
You want to know something?
What?
It's nothing to be ashamed of.
You should know.
Thanks. Well, I guess I'll run along now.
Wait a minute, Dennis. What'd you come over here for?
Oh, I forgot. I came over to visit Miss Livingston.
You did? Well, sit down and stay a while.
Okay. Well, guess I'll run along now.
Dennis, you just got here. What's that package under your arm?
Oh, I made a record of a song and I wanted Miss Livingston to hear it.
Well, that's fine. We'll play it later. Oh, Butterfly, see who's at the door.
Yes, Miss Livingston.
Oh, it must be Rochester. There's my new car out in front.
That yellow one? Why, it looks like a taxi cab.
Well, it was, Mary, but it's the only thing I could get. Anyway, I converted it strictly to private use.
Oh.
If it weren't for the color, no one would know it used to be a taxi. Oh, hello, Rochester.
Hello, boss. You better hurry. The meter's running.
Well, turn it off, silly. It's only us.
Why, Jack, if you're using that taxi for your own private use, why do you have a meter on it?
He never knows when he's going to give a friend a lift.
Well, Rochester, it pays to be nice.
It pays him.
Oh, that's not the reason at all. Anyway, Mary, it's not a bad car, is it?
It looks all right.
It rides smoothly, too.
Yes, sir.
Did you ride in it, Dennis?
30 cents worth.
Dennis.
That's my raise. $5 worth of free rides a week.
Listen, kid, I give you those rides because... I give you those rides because I like you. I'm not in business with that taxi. I don't haul people around.
Oh, boss, come now.
Rochester, I told you, I only give my friends a lift home.
What's so funny, Rochester?
All of his friends have trunks and live at the Union Station.
Rochester, stop making things up. And you better hurry or we'll be late for the super cheese. I mean, stop mixing me up.
I know what you mean, boss, but we gotta go Christmas shopping.
Oh, that's right. Let's get going. I want to do my shopping while the stores are still loaded with stuff. So let's...
Oh, Butterfly. Butterfly, there's someone at the door. Butterfly, where are you? Oh, well, I'll answer it myself. Well, of all people...
I locked myself out.
Ha, ha, ha. mind. Get Mr. Benny things. He's leaving.
I got him. Never mind. Come on, Rochester. Let's go. So long, Mary.
Goodbye, Miss Livingston.
Goodbye. I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other... Oh, Dennis, I forgot you were still here.
Yeah, I just put my record on the phonograph. Would you like to hear it, Miss Livingston?
Sure, I would. Go ahead and play it.
Okay. Say, Miss Livingston, would you like to... Oh, well.
What, Dennis?
Never mind. Let's sit this one out.
Yes, I'd rather just listen to it.
Don't turn the corners so fast.
Don't worry. Boss, these taxi cabs can really take it.
Rochester, I've told you 1,000 times this is my own private car now. It's not a taxi. Anyway, I'm going to have the color changed. It's getting to be ridiculous. Rochester, you're coming to a red light. Watch it.
I see it, boss.
Hey, Bud, mind if I share this cab with you?
I'm sorry, mister, but this ain't no...
Driver, no one's asking you. Certainly, mister. Hop right in.
Okay. Maple Avenue, driver.
Nice day, isn't it?
Yeah. How far are you going, buddy?
Oh, I'm going much further than Maple Avenue. So you pay me and I'll pay the driver. That'll save time.
I wish he'd step on it. I'm in a hurry to get home.
You are?
Yeah. I don't want to miss the Fred Allen program.
What? There.
Gosh, boss, how could you reach the brake from the back seat?
Never mind. This is where you get out, mister.
Why? What happened? What did I say?
Get out. Get out.
You can't put me out of this cab. Hey, driver.
I'm sorry, mister, but you'll have to get out.
Oh, I do, hey? Well, my name is Brown, and I'm going to report you to the president of this company.
Mr. Brown, you may not know it, but you were thrown out by the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and star of stage, screen, and taxi cab.
That's telling them, Rochester. Let's go. Sure is proud of him, this store. I wish I'd have done my Christmas shopping early like I did last year. You going to buy any gifts in here, Rochester?
No, I already did my shopping.
You did? Where?
At Saks Central Avenue.
Now, let's see. I want to get something for my girl, Gladys Zabisco. But I don't know what.
Why don't you ask the floor walker?
Yeah. Oh, mister. Mister, are you the floor walker?
If I'm asked that question again, I'm going to smash somebody right over the head.
What are you mad about? I just asked you if you were the floor walker.
You see this carnation in my lapel?
Yes.
Or what do you think I am, a long stem?
Oh, then you are the floor walker.
Of course. I'm not rugged enough to be a customer. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm interested in something for my girlfriend. What would you suggest?
Well, what does your girl look like?
Well, she's kind of thin and scrawny, and her hair is sort of stringy. But she really has a nice personality. She has a little turned-up nose. And she has two ears. And they,
Well, everybody's got two ears.
On the same side?
Rochester. That's the way she combs her hair. It's a large bun.
Well, I don't know what to suggest. Why don't you try our harness shop?
Oh, don't be so smart. Come on, Rochester. I'll find things myself. Let's go over to this counter here. Pardon me, miss. Is this the perfume department?
No, this is the cold cream counter. Can I smear something on you?
No, no, thanks. I'm not interested in cold cream.
You know, we're short of help, so they split my week between cold cream and hot water bottles.
Oh.
3 days a week I'm greasy, and the other three I'm overheated.
Well, I feel sorry for you.
You know, for 20 years, I was behind the perfume counter. Nothing but perfume for 20 years. Perfume, perfume, perfume.
Well, that's too bad, Miss,
Just call me Stinky.
Well, look, miss, I have to buy something for,
Hey, boss, look. Here comes Mr. Harris.
Where? Oh, yeah. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Chester.
Hello, Mr. Harris.
Doing a little shopping, Phil?
No, I came out here to see Don Wilson.
Don Wilson?
Yeah, he's playing Santa Claus here this year.
No kidding. Well, how'd he get the job?
It wasn't easy. He had to take off 20 pounds.
Gee, can you imagine Don being Santa Claus and talking to all the little kids, telling them about... Hey, wait a minute. Have I got a wonderful idea?
What is it, Jackson?
Let's pull a gag on Wilson. Now, Phil, you go over to the boys' department and get dressed up like a little kid.
Yeah?
And I'll go down to the women's ready-to-wear and dress up like a woman. See, I'll be your mother.
Okay, and I'll be the mean widow kid.
Boy, will we fool Don. Rochester, wait for me out in the car. And, Phil, I'll meet you in front of the toy department.
Okay.
Gee, I wish Jackson would hurry up. I feel like a dope standing here dressed up like a little kid.
Oh, boy, look what Jackson's missing. Hiya, babe.
Shut up, it's me. Now, come on, let's fool Don. Come on, we'll go over and fool Wilson. Remember, I'm your mother.
Now, gather round, children, gather round, and I want to talk to each one of you in turn. Now, let me see. Who's next?
My little son is Santa Claus.
Oh.
My little son is Santa Claus.
All right, madam. Now, where is your little boy?
Now, where is he? Oh, Clearwater. Clearwater.
Doody, doody, Santa Claus. Doody, doody, Santa. Here I is, Mommy.
Isn't he a darling?
Yes, he's a cute little rascal.
Now, Clearwater, tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas. Go ahead, don't be mad.
No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it.
Now, Clearwater track saddle. Tell Santa what you want.
No, I don't want to do it. I don't
Clearwater.
Want to do it.
Clearwater, take your foot out of your mouth. There, now the other one. That's better.
Now, little boy, tell Santa what you want for Christmas.
I want some grape nuts flakes.
Grape nuts flakes?
Yes, my mommy and my dad, well, he tells me that they're toasty brown and they're sweet as a nut.
That's right, my smart little man. And they're a whole grain cereal.
You're absolutely right, Santa.
Oh, how cute. Look at that nice little boy sitting on Santa Claus's lap. Such pretty golden coils he's got.
Yes, that little boy happens to be mine.
I'm not talking to you.
Now, tell me, Sonny, wouldn't you like to have a bicycle?
No, I want a grape nut flakes because they're delicious, nutritious, and not rationed.
That's right, and what else?
Well, there are basic seven foods, the kind of food my dad would. He wants me to eat more of.
Well, 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 you certainly are a good little boy. You should be proud of him, Mrs. Clapsaddle.
Clearwater, say goodbye to Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Santa Claus.
Goodbye, Phil. So long, Jack.
Oh, darn it, he knew it. He knew it all the time.
What are we going to do now, Mommy dear?
Oh, shut up, you little jerk. Come on, let's get out of here.
There's a certain phase of the effect that you can't take it with you. But tonight I'm going to tell you about something you can take with you and should take with you every morning of your life. That's the zippy, up-and-atom feeling that you get when you eat the right kind of breakfast instead of one of those sip-and-run affairs. Breakfast is the stoke-up meal, you know. The time when nutrition experts say we need at least one quarter of our day's nourishment. Well, for two grand-tasting stoke-up foods, let me just mention grape nuts and grape nuts flakes. Because the experts also agree an adequate breakfast should include a cereal with whole grain food values. And that's certainly grape nuts and grape nuts flakes for you. Both are crammed full of all-around whole grain nourishment, including iron, niacin, vitamin B1, the morale-building vitamin. And good, say, wait till you taste that zesty crispness, that distinctive nut-sweet flavor. So eat a good breakfast, do a better job. And for extra swell eating, make it tempting, nutritious grape nuts or grape nuts flakes.
Well, folks, that finishes another program, and we'll be back with you next Sunday night at the same time. Meanwhile, my cast and I want to send Christmas greetings to all of you. To all of you here at home and to all of our boys and girls in the service here and abroad. Good night, everybody.
Grape nut sweet meal. Yes, you bet. The swellest new hot cereal yet.
Get grape nut sweet meal. It's a prize in the big new package, jumbo size.
A thrifty treat, you'll all admit. But the first delicious taste of it.
Yes, quick cooking grape nut sweet meal is rich and hot and brown. With a grand roasted wheat flavor, luscious full-bodied texture, real whole wheat nourishment. Get hot grape nut sweet meal in the time-saving, money-saving new economy-size package. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company. KFI, Los Angeles.
Since 1992, DoorWorks Incorporated has been providing, installing, and servicing residential, commercial, and industrial doors and openers throughout Wisconsin. They're located right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and they're fully licensed and insured. All of their employees are certified, trained technicians that are trained to install and service all types of doors and openers. DoorWorks Incorporated wants to wish you and your family a very safe and happy holiday season.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. What two things are you most anxious to have in your home? Aren't they beauty and cleanliness? Well, think for a moment how easily and inexpensively you can have both beauty and cleanliness just with an occasional application of genuine Johnson's wax to your floors, furniture, and woodwork. A rich, mellow, polished wax surface is a thing of beauty in itself. The wax brings out the grain and beauty of the wood. It adds a soft luster to leather, linoleum, and metal surfaces. And, of course, this tough wax film protects these surfaces against wear, dirt, and moisture. Dust and dirt do not adhere readily to a wax-polished surface. So cleaning is not only easier, but a waxed home is actually cleaner and more sanitary. Johnson's wax is of the very finest quality and long-wearing. The cost is really very little. So why not practice protective housekeeping in your home with genuine Johnson's wax? Dealers everywhere carry it. There are certain people who simply won't admit that nature does anything right. They are the kind who gild cattails, paint Whose Little Tootsie Are You on the shells of baby turtles, and clip poodle dogs to look like anemic lions. Here's one of those people now, as we meet Fibber McGee and Molly.
Hey, Fred, how much you charge me to paint this Christmas tree white?
Why do you want it white, McGee?
What do you mean, why do I want it white? You got 100 trees in this lot you've painted white.
Yeah, and I think they're horrible.
What?
Some people like them that way.
Never mind the artistic comment, Fred. How much?
$10.
$10? To spray a little white paint on this half-pine tree? Who do you think you are, Rembrandt? Looky here, maybe you didn't understand, Fritz. I want this tree painted white, not gold-plated.
$10.
You're a pirate, and I'll bet you've made $200 already today.
You're a cheapskate, and I've made $340.
You're a robber, and you want to sell a half interest in this joint?
You're a stoop, and I wouldn't sell my own mother a half interest.
You're a low-down, no-good.
Oh, that dirty
swindler. $10 to spray a little tree white. The rat. Cheating people right and left. Making $400 a day. A chiseler. I don't know whether to report him to the OPA or make him a better offer for a half interest. Low-down chiseler.
What's the matter, McGee? This time.
It's that guy Fred Corrigan that runs the Christmas tree lot at 14th and Oak. That dirty pine broker. Wanted to charge me $10 to paint our Christmas tree white.
Well, that does seem a little high, dearie. But think of the work there is to it. Putting all those needles back on after the paint dries.
They don't take the needles off. They just spray the trees. Whish, whish, whish. That's all there is to it.
Well, if wishing will make it so, why don't you do it yourself?
If it's a $10 job, I can't afford to pay myself that much. Besides, I haven't got a paint spray, so...
Hey, haven't we got a paint spray attachment on the vacuum cleaner?
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh, I can have that tree painted white before you can say, don't it look awful?
Now, McGee, please, I realize we need the house painted, but not on the inside. Let's leave the tree green.
Oh, you'll love a white one, Snooky. It's the modern thing. Nobody uses green trees anymore. They're outmoded.
Hmm. You don't say. Well, tell me, Salvador. What color snow are people using this year? Chartreuse?
No kidding, Molly. White Christmas trees are all the rage. Everybody.
They must be. They throw me into one. Now, look, sweetheart. Just put the tree up and trim it. I love a green Christmas tree. Don't you, Alice?
Don't I what, Mrs. McGee?
Look, Molly, I'll put it up to Alice fair and square and let her give an opinion. Here's the preposition, kid. If you were going to have a Christmas tree, which would you rather have? A dusty, drab, dirty old green one or a bright, snappy, glistening white one?
Which, Alice?
Mistletoe.
Oh. Mistletoe. What an answer.
Well, jeepers, don't you like to hang up a little bouquet of mistletoe, Mr. McGee?
Oh, he's too shy, Alice.
I am not shy. What good is mistletoe? Catch somebody under it, and it's either somebody you can kiss anyway, like your wife, or you get a slap in the chops before you can point up to it. Mistletoe, bah. That's just poison ivy with berries.
Well, we'll put some up, Alice, and you'll see who manages to spend most of his time loitering around beneath it.
Yeah.
But honestly now, dear, do you like a white Christmas tree?
Well, I like them all, Mrs. McGee. I don't care if they're purple. Gertrude always has a white one, though, and she likes them.
Who's Gertrude? We know her.
Oh, she's the boy who always rides past here in the cream-colored Cadillac and honks his horn, sister.
Ah, yes. I see. Well, himself, he used to go with a man who owned a Stutz Bearcat's niece.
Yeah. Yeah, but I gave her up for an old guy with a broken-down Maxwell's daughter. But honestly now, Alice, don't you really prefer a white Christmas tree?
Well, I got awfully tired of them, Mr. McGee. When I was a little girl, my father gave us kids some little tiny paintbrushes and told us to paint a Christmas tree white.
Heavenly days.
Wow.
It must have taken you children a long time to paint a tree with little brushes. How long did it take you, Alice?
Oh, we never did get it finished. Huh? But it kept us off the streets till we were 18 years old. Well, I gotta wrap some presents. See you later.
Right, kid. How all that lovely golden hair can grow out of that solid bone, I'll never know.
Oh, she's awfully sweet, though, McGee. There isn't a mean thought in Alice's head.
No, nor any other kind. Well, this ain't getting my tree sprayed.
Where'd you leave the tree, dearie?
Out in front. I can attach the vacuum cleaner cord from the porch light. Now, let me see if I get the porch...
Come in. Oh, hello there, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, Molly. How are you today, pantry paunch?
Fine, Jumbo, fine. You out spreading a little Christmas cheer, telling your patients you're going to retire?
Oh. He's not going to retire for years yet, are you, Doctor?
My dear, I will retire on that far distant day when I can write a personal check for $400 and not have the hired help at the Fourth National Bank burst into hysterical laughter.
Why, go on, you old miser. You got that much buried under a loose brick in the fireplace right now. Trouble with you is you got more affection for a dollar than my wife has for a pound of butter. And that's the love match of the year, Fatso.
Ah, you have no right to say that, though, McGee. Dr. Gamble does more private charity work than anybody in town.
Certainly. I'm a very noble character. When I walk down the street, flowers spring into bloom.
Oh.
Birds burst into song, and taxicabs honk twice before they try to kill me. Well, I got to run along now. This is my busy season, you know.
I suppose the children keep you pretty busy around Christmas time, Doctor, huh?
No, it's the so-called grown-ups, my dear.
Huh?
This is the silly season when 200-pound men start climbing 49-cent stepladders to wire dime store angels to the tops of $3 Christmas trees and wind up in a $500 plastic hat. Pennywise and compound fracture foolish.
Don't you want to stick around and watch me trim our Christmas tree, Doc? I'm painting it white.
Well, you don't have to do that, Skipwit.
Huh?
When I put my gift for you under it, it'll turn white.
Billy Mills and the orchestra and the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers.
Thank you.
it goes again. Clogs up like a sentimental woman at a sad movie.
What seems to be the matter, dear?
This paint spray goes along all right for a minute, then it chokes up. And when it comes loose again, it throws a blob of paint that'll knock IQ out of the balcony.
Well, found it on the porch steps. And maybe that'll loosen it up.
Okay, I will.
There, now try it.
Okay. Ah!
Well, heavenly days, Mickey, you almost hit me with that.
I'm sorry, kiddo. I didn't know it was loaded. Well, here we go. There, now, just... Dad ratted it, done it again. Clogged up.
Well, hurry up and get the job finished, Mickey. It's colder than a lineman's lunch out here.
Well, you go on in the house if you want. I can handle this all right.
No, I've got to stay out here and tell people who you are.
Huh?
You get a little more of that white paint on you, and they'll think you're a badly constructed snowman.
Okay. That does it. Now, I'll have this tree sprayed before you can
Watch
say...
your aim, dearie.
Huh?
No, you better shut it off. Here comes Mrs. Carstairs.
No.
Hello there, Mrs. Carstairs. Won't you come in the house and have a slug of tea?
No, thank you, my dear. I'm just out walking my Pekingese and must hurry along.
What Pekingese, Carsty? I don't see him.
Oh, it was too cold for him to come along, Mr. McGee. One of us goes out, he's satisfied.
Ah, it's really a sweet little dog, Millicent, from what I've seen of him.
Personally, I wouldn't have one of them four-legged dust mops as a gift. Give me a man-sized dog. I ever tell you about the hunting dog I had once, Carsty, by the name of Durante?
Durante?
Yeah, what a nose that dog had. Never forget one time we were walking through the woods. Me and my dog, pipe over my shoulder, gun in my mouth.
What was that again?
Gun over my shoulder and pipe in my mouth, when all of a sudden Durante freezes. He's on point. Nose quivering, tail out like a ramrod. One foot in the air. I raises my gun, walks slowly forward, and there, not 10 feet away, was a guy sitting on a stump.
That was quite a dog, Mr. McGee. Trained to flush game wardens, was he?
No, sir. I bawled the dog out, and then I was never so ashamed in my life. It was the smartest thing he'd ever done.
Why?
Well, sir, I got talking to the guy, and you know what? His name was Partridge.
Oh.
Henry W. Partridge. Wasn't that wonderful, Carsty?
No, I don't think that's so remarkable, Mr. McGee. In the light of what a police dog of mine once did.
What was that, Millicent? After all, it's so cold out tonight, the baloney won't spoil.
Well, this dog of ours was extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
One day I had him in the post office, and I noticed he was staring at the police posters on the wall. Suddenly, he dashed out the door and was gone.
Probably went out to steal an apple off a fruit stand, Carsty.
No. When I got home, he was gripping our butler by the vest pocket and was barking into the telephone, which he'd knocked off the table. When the police arrived, it turned out that Jarvis was wanted by the authorities in 3 states.
Yes, but why was your dog holding him by the vest pocket, Millicent?
That was where our butler kept his fountain pen. You see, he was wanted for forgery. Seen you. Good evening.
Yeah. Who does she think she's kidding? I don't believe a word of that stuff. I'll bet she made that whole thing up.
Well, never mind her, dearie. Get busy with that paint before it freezes solid,
huh?
Will you?
Oh, gee, it might at that. Well, back to work. There. Ah, there she blows.
Stopped up again, McGee?
Yeah, the doggone thing. I only got about a third of this tree sprayed, too. Maybe if...
Hey.
What?
How could Carstairs' dog be gripping the butler by the vest and barking into the phone at the same time?
Why, she didn't say he was gripping the butler with his teeth, dearie.
Huh?
You know, after all, a dog as smart as that could hold him down with one hind paw, dial the police station with the other, and use his front feet to take fingerprints.
Yeah, maybe, but how she... Oh, well, why should I worry? That's better yet.
You're getting
that's
more paint on yourself than you are on the tree, McGee.
Well, the wind keeps changing. They ought to make these paint sprays with a weather vane on them. Why, George, if...
Oh, dear. In the time you've taken to get this tree a dirty gray, Pet. I could have whitewashed the Kaibab National Forest with a flip gun.
Well, doggone it, I don't see...
Hello, folks. What's going on
Hello,
here?
Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. Pull up a front step and give yourself a three-point landing.
You want your Christmas tree painted white, Mr. Wilcox. Trot home and get it.
Yeah, I won't be out here very long, Junie, as soon as I adjust the nozzle on this paint.
Hey, wait a minute, Mac. Do you mean to stand there like a front man for painter's colic and tell me you're actually going to ruin that pretty little tree with white paint? Ruining that refugee from the forest primeval? Despoiling a magnificent evergreen?
Ah, skip the dramatics, Junior. We know you memorized Evangeline in high school.
And you played the heavy in the Chautauqua Company of Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, too, didn't you, Mr. Wilcox?
The juvenile lead, if you please. I also had three seasons of Shakespeare.
A likely story. When you play Shakespeare, son, that's when Othello needs a friend.
Everyone in Omaha, I'll have you know, said I was another Barrymore. Why, when I came out in my tights and said, oh, what a rogue and peasant slave am I.
You can say that again.
Now, hush, McGee, I love Shakespeare. Go on, Mr. Wilcox.
Is it not monstrous that this player here, seeing a lady forced to menial task and seeing such drudgery, would not then dispense a thing called Johnson's glow coat? Forsooth, a goodly fluid, which spread upon the scullery linoleum, would thus eliminate the scrub. No rub, no bump. Just pour it on, and in one-third the time it takes for our glass to turn, it dry.
If Shakespeare ain't in the public domain, this two-bit Orson Welles is going to be sued for $9 million.
Ah, yes, it dries. And so mirror-like it gleams. The porridge spilled, wiped off, leaves not a single spot. The labor saved, the hours gained, the beauty seen. Tis glow coat. Beloved by Chatelaine and serving wench alike. Your nearest dealer.
Hey, now wait a minute, Mr. Wilcox. Is that in Hamlet?
My dear girl, it's in every hamlet, every village, every town, city, and metropolis. Every place where a housewife takes pride in the appearance of her kitchen. And if I don't get back to the office in the next 10 minutes, I'll find myself back in Chautauqua. So long, kid.
There goes the biggest ham I've seen since Blue Boy went to the state fair. He better be careful or he'll wind up on a platter with an apple in his mouth. Now, but this ain't getting my tree sprayed.
Well, hurry up. You almost got it done now.
Yeah. Let's see. I get it all loosened up good. Ah, there she goes. Ah, this is the best it's been yet.
Yeah.
Look how white the tree is getting, Molly.
There's one question I'd like to ask you, McGee. Are you sure
Don't bother me now, kiddo. I'm doing too good. Hot dog. Ain't that getting beautiful? I finally got this spray gun working perfect.
I know, but look, McGee, I've been wanting to ask you if...
Later, Tootsie, later. I'm just about finished now. Just up there a little bit. Ah, oh, gee, I'm through. All done. And believe me, that's the whitest white Christmas tree you'll ever see. Now, won't you admit this is a mighty pretty effect, baby?
Yes, if you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll go and make some hot coffee, dearie.
Okay.
McGee?
Huh?
Whose Christmas tree is this on the front porch?
Oh, that's the one I bought this morning that I'm going to paint white. What? Oh, my gosh, what tree did I paint?
The one that's been growing there in the yard all these years.
Of all that debt, if I ain't the dumbest bloke that ever drew breath. A wise guy. A know-it-all. Can't tell one tree from another, one that's growing and one that ain't. I'm a sapit. I'm a brainless, incompetent, ham-handed butterfingers. If I wasn't so stupid, I'd never let me sit here and insult myself like this. Dad rat the
dead. Hi, mister. What's the matter?
I know that voice. Is that you, Teeny?
Sure is, I betcha. What you sitting there with your head in your hands for, mister? Got a headache? Want me to get you an aspirin, Want me to,
No, no, thanks, sis. Medicine won't touch the kind of headache I got. I just busted my ego in four places.
Gee, I'm sorry, mister.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Who did that?
Huh? Who did what?
Who painted that tree white? Gee, is that ever beautiful?
Yeah, but that ain't the one.
And it's growing right there in your yard.
Yeah, you see, I got a little confused and
Oh, Mr. McGee, you're wonderful.
Huh? I am?
Mm-hmm. You're the nicest man in town, I bet you.
Hmm?
You put your Christmas tree right out in the front yard where everybody can share it with you, didn't you?
Well, I didn't exactly.
See, all the kids in the neighborhood are going to love you for this, mister. Why, I can hardly wait till you get it all lighted up.
You can't, eh?
Hmm?
I says you can't, eh?
Can't what?
You can't wait till I get it all lighted up.
Gee, neither can I. And you know what, mister?
What?
When it's growing in the ground like that, it can't wobble and fall over either. Our Christmas tree at home is always wobbly.
Yeah, lots of people make that mistake, sis. They don't stop to think if they were a tree and got all lit up and then came into a warm room, they'd wobble a little too. Skip it. So you think it looks all right out here in the front yard?
Oh, boy. I'll say. Mm-hmm. Now all the little children that haven't got Christmas trees can come and see yours, can't they?
Yeah, I kind of plan to get a lot of little bags of candy and stuff and let the kids help themselves Christmas Eve, sis. I just planned that. Think they'd like that?
Gee, will they ever? And us kids will sing.
Sing what?
You know, the song we sing for you every Christmas time. 'Twas the night before Christmas, the one we just recorded.
Oh.
Would you like to hear it now, mister? Would you, huh?
Yes. Yes, I believe I would, sir.
Okay. Hey, Kenny, Johnny, Buddy, Randy, come here. He wants to hear it, all right.
Wonderful bunch of kids going around the neighborhood with a 30-piece orchestra.
Was the night before Christmas and all. Not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
Giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. and exclaim at each drop of his heart. Merry Christmas to all and to all. Good night.
Oh, is he gone?
Here's the night after Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature is stirring, not even the mouse. The presents are scattered and broken, I fear. And St. Nicholas won't come again for a year. The children are nestled all warm in their wee little bed, while memories of sugar plums dance in their wee little heads. Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap are settled at last for a
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
From the lights on the tree in your house to the rotary lights in the park, may this holiday season be a bright, cheerful time for you and your family. Happy holidays from the staff and residents at Edgewater Haven Nursing Home, a proud sponsor of Holiday for Seniors.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE Broadcasting.